In a recent Sunday Sermon podcast, Father Jeff Windy talks about the daily struggles of living the Christian faith.
Sometimes we ask ourselves, are we fully followers of Jesus Christ? And there are times that I don't even know if I get that. It's one of those things which, being honest, challenges me every day.
For the past 2 years, Windy has served as assistant pastor at both Holy Trinity Parish and historic St. Patrick's Church in Bloomington. He is known as a personable, hardworking priest who often challenges parishioners to live their faith more deliberately.
He takes his role as a priest very seriously. I think he loves what he does. I think the parishioners like him.
Retired social worker Ann Duback attends Holy Trinity Parish.
Challenge yourself today to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to give up everything for him, or do we just talk a good game?
There was a time when the Peoria Diocese, which includes Bloomington and Normal, banned Windy from serving in any capacity as a priest. It came in 2002 after Windy pleaded guilty in an Iowa federal court to conspiracy to manufacture and distribute the depressant GHB. At the time, Windy was the pastor of two Quad Cities area parishes. GHB is often used as a date rape drug. However, Windy testified that he and some friends took GHB as a bodybuilding tool when the drug was still legal, became addicted, and continued to use it after it was banned. He was sentenced to 70 months in prison and 3 years probation. The National Federation of Priests Councils, an organization that represents U.S. priests, says Windy may be the only priest brought back into ministry following a felony drug conviction. Father Tony Kutcher is president of the Federation.
It's rather unusual for a priest to go to prison in the first place. And so the occurrence of a priest going to prison and then being returned to ministry, I don't have any direct knowledge of that happening.
According to several parishioners, the Peoria Diocese never told them, publicly or formally, about Windy's criminal background. Some said they remembered his case from the past. Others heard rumors of it and researched Windy's record on the internet. Duback says the diocese should have been more forthcoming at the outset.
I was surprised that they didn't trust the congregation enough to let us know ahead of time or at the time that he had such a past, and they could have given a lot of helpful guidance on how to even view the situation.
Bishop Daniel Jenke and Patricia Gibson, Chancellor of the Diocese, did not respond to phone calls or emailed questions about Windy. Monsignor James Cruz, Vicar General of Priests in the Peoria Diocese, declined to be interviewed on tape, but said in a brief phone interview that the diocese wanted to safeguard Windy's privacy. Kutcher of the Priest Federation says the diocese's decision to remain silent once again raises the specter of a church shrouded in secrecy.
My counsel would always say that the best policy is transparency. If I were the bishop, I would tend towards full disclosure, and I would probably stand with the man and have him do the disclosure with me by his side.
Parishioner Duback says owning up to the past doesn't necessarily jeopardize one's future.
I think that people, for the most part, would be inclined to forgive him. I think that people in the parish, like me, understand that mistakes can be made. He paid his time. He came to a mature understanding that he made a mistake, so I don't judge.
Contacted by phone, Windy said he has spoken of his past to some parishioners during retreats where what is discussed remains confidential. He says he does not speak publicly of his prison time because it took place many years ago. He declined further comment, as did the pastor of Holy Trinity and historic St. Patrick's, Father Tony Lee.
I think the more parishioners know, usually the better it is. Then there aren't any surprises at any point along the way.
Norma Roberts is a counselor and minister in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, who often helps congregations and clergy in crisis. She is also affiliated with the Catholic Church as a Benedictine lay associate.
I think they should have found some way to say, this is who this person is, this is why we're recommending them. And as part of who he is, you need to know that this is part of his background. The secrecy is probably one of the things that has been most hurtful. And that's the most hurtful thing in a Protestant congregation. eventually it will be found out, and when it is, it causes a lot more damage.
The Catholic Church promised greater transparency after it received widespread criticism for covering up priest misconduct during a decades-long clergy abuse scandal. Roberts says it is often difficult to determine where transparency should end and privacy begin.
How do you weigh the privacy issue versus people's right to know about their minister, the person that is handling their spiritual concerns and also hearing confidential matters about their own lives?
That's tricky to figure out exactly how to bring about that balance, because people do not need to know everything about their pastor, but they do need to know who he is and what kind of person he is and what has brought him to this point in his life that he wants to serve their congregation.
WGLT spoke to numerous parishioners for this report who expressed concern about the way the diocese handled Wendy's return. Most would not speak on tape, saying they did not want to rehash the past or publicly criticize their church. But many parishioners also said they agree with Kutcher of the Priests' Federation that clergy members, like anyone else, are entitled to a second chance.
The Catholic Church is founded on reconciliation and forgiveness. And so we believe that, and a bishop would say, that once a man has paid his debt to society and that the experts can tell us that he is, in fact, rehabilitated and that he poses no danger to people or scandal to the church, that he could be returned to ministry.
Kutcher says one exception would be priests convicted of sexual misconduct.
Someone who will always be a threat would be someone who's a sex abuser. Those predators will never be returned. We have a policy of zero tolerance for that sort of crime. When it comes to other crimes, I mean, selling drugs is not a direct threat to the people in the pews.
Church officials would not comment on how they decided that Wendy was once again fit for ministry. Kutcher says Wendy likely underwent a period of monitoring after his incarceration.
My guess would be that there was some counseling going on. He would have been seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist during that time. He would have also, if he was planning on going back into ministry, he would have been updating his theological knowledge. And so there would have been some spiritual direction with another priest. There would have been refresher courses at the local seminary, that sort of thing.
It is unclear whether there are any restrictions on how Wendy is to carry out his ministry. Prosecutors alleged that at his previous parish, he used a church account to purchase a chemical solvent to make drugs. Bloomington parishioners say there are no obvious restrictions on the way Wendy conducts his duties at either parish. A recent notice in the church bulletin advertised a, quote, pilgrimage to the Caribbean he is hoping to take with church members. McLean County State's Attorney Jason Chambers says the charges against Wendy were serious enough to warrant a full disclosure to the parish.
But I think that if a person has shown that they're willing to commit an offense which is harmful to others, and I think that the distribution of GHB would qualify as that, then those who have to deal with that person should be made aware. As a society, we seem to be in this big swing towards defendants' rights and allowing them to hide information about their past, and sometimes even dangerous information, but that has a cost.
Job applicants routinely must disclose if they have been convicted of a felony or misdemeanor. A conviction like Wendy's could cause a person to have a license refused, revoked, or suspended for a variety of jobs, including doctor, nurse, lawyer, even barber, midwife, or funeral director. No such statutes apply to clergy members. And it is often difficult for Catholic parishioners to obtain details about the background of their priests. In most Protestant churches, lay boards oversee the hiring of ministers. In the Catholic Church, the local bishop decides where to place priests. Parishioners have little or no input. Roberts of the Disciples of Christ denomination says lay oversight in Protestant churches makes it more difficult to conceal a minister's past.
Anything like that would be in their public record, which would have gone to any church that might consider calling them as a pastor.
Roberts says she was involved in one case in which a female pastor faced difficult issues involving her family. The pastor made a full disclosure to her prospective congregation.
We were just very clear with them what the situation for her was and for what it would be for them. And it was probably one of the best experiences in ministry, certainly that she had. And I think it was one of the best for the congregation itself.
At the time of his court plea, Windy expressed deep remorse. According to published reports at the time, he wept as he told a judge, quote, "My dreams have now been shattered. I have shamed my family, my parish, my brother priests." He said he had been, quote, "such a fool." Following his release from prison and before coming to Bloomington, Windy worked for a few years as a custodian for diocesan properties. A source close to the diocese said he repeatedly asked Bishop Jenke to reinstate him. Kutcher says the priest shortage may have influenced the Peoria Diocese's decision to permit Windy's return. The number of Catholic priests in the U.S. declined from about 58,600 in 1965 to about 38,000 today. The average age is 63.
This man, he did his time. He repented of his sin. He even probably went through some sort of re-education. This is the question for the people in Peoria. Do we settle for a priest who's been certified rebuilt, or do we take our chances and not get a pastor?
Windy was 31 at the time of his arrest, and at age 45 is still among the youngest priests in the U.S. At Holy Trinity and historic St. Patrick's, many parishioners seem happy just to have an additional priest, even if some of their questions about him remain unanswered. I'm Judy Valente, WGLT News.